4.2 million Americans have now been canceled by their insurance companies.
Canceled your show.
And Futurama's been canceled.
Canceled.
Canceled too soon.
Is officially canceled.
Be canceled twice. His launch pre-order bundle was canceled. Do we know it's a his?
Have been effectively canceled.
And abruptly canceled.
From Target is canceled.
Or unceremoniously canceled.
The plan was being canceled.
The cabal has been canceled.
Look at the role of the Rothschild family.
Money and power.
Monsanto and a few other chemical companies.
Culling the population through eugenics is their answer.
The World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, IMF, and the World Trade Organization.
These are the most disgusting people on the face of this earth.
Or they control the information.
The powerful few people who run this planet.
They're not as powerful as you think.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now brings you Castle the Cabal with Stephen Roberts. Stephen Roberts.
Red or blue?
All right, welcome everyone. I'm live. This is Stephen Roberts. This is Monday night. I'm on Stephen Roberts Live, and I'm on Cancel the Cabal on We Roar Radio and People's Internet Radio. I've grabbed two streams. I'm simulcasting here. So, tonight I have one of the best guests that I always have on a lot. He gave me a text and asked if he could come on. He has a breaking news. So I brought Greg Ford up on the show. Welcome back, Greg.
Oh, well, thanks so much as always, Steve. And I'd like to say good evening to all the folks in the Emerald Isle, of course, and all the, especially all the folks in the Shannon Aero Club. So I can never forget those folks sitting at the end of the runway when I took off, you know, watching the airplanes take off. So that was their club. So anyway, thank you so much for having me, especially on short notice.
Well, yeah.
A couple hours ago.
Sure. Yeah, not too long ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You happened to mention you had some breaking news here, Greg. Something about a big time major, mass media corporation here in America.
Oh, yes. Yes. I complete shock to me. All right. And obviously somebody's listening to your show, Steve. It's so quiet sometimes and the chat room goes quiet and then other times the whole place explodes. But I had no idea that Fox News would pay any attention. But obviously, some of my remarks have stirred, Fox News. So I was actually coming home this evening. This is in California, right? And, with a cold day is 64 degrees out here. And I got a call from my law firm, and they said, "You're not going to believe this, but we just got a it was a fax." A
fax, yeah.
Yeah, a fax, and it was from Fox News, Fox News Network. All right.
In New York?
And that's what it said. It didn't say New York. It just said Fox News Network.
Okay.
It was kind of mysterious. Okay.
Yeah.
And very clearly, it's somebody that has been listening to me on your show.
You hit a nerve somewhere, huh?
Yes, very clearly. And been listening for quite a while, so they're probably listening tonight to see if any kind of response on this fax. But that's what it said. And, of course, my attorneys, these are diligent young attorneys, not pompous, bloated old farts, making $300 zillion an hour for doing nothing. No, these guys are young and aggressive, and so they immediately started backtracking electronically. thank God that the NSA is monitoring everybody's radio, everybody's fax, all this kind of stuff, because, you know, it gets really easy, you know, to find out who sent what and when they sent it, all right? And so we were able to locate the city that I was sent from and locate the store that I was sent from, and we were actually able to locate the fax machine that I was sent from, and we've already contacted the store, and it was a Staples store, of all things, and my attorneys are going to get a 24-hour video cam. I mean, let's face it, we should all stop doing bad things because somebody's watching nowadays. I think they call that, you know, according to, I think George Orwell was an Irishman, if I remember correctly. I don't think he was English. I think he was Irish.
Yeah.
But,
let's say Greg. Said,
yes.
Do you think your attorneys will be able to requisition that videotape from the, I'm sorry, did you say it was a Kinko's or something like that, or?
No, it's a Staples.
Staples, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, they do office. You know,
right.
I guess you have them back here east of the Mississippi. There,
yes, but, we do. Yes.
Right. Okay. And, they've already talked to the store, and so they're rewinding all the 24-hour tapes to find out exactly who was at the machine and whose credit card matches exactly the time. So, you know, it doesn't really pay to be a dirtbag anymore, all right? You know, not that California it has a shortage of dirtbags, but very clearly, there's one here, and he is masquerading as Fox, I'm guessing.
Oh.
I can't imagine. You know, sure, I say some bad things about Fox, you know, when they deserve it, of course.
Right.
You know, when somebody actually starts impersonating, you know, a member of the Fox News.
Right.
Okay, Fox News should know it. And so I expect to hear, or at least maybe you should expect to hear, you know, some sort of legal representative from Fox News contacting you.
Right.
Concerning this attack.
Do you know what city that came from, Greg?
Okay, the city it came from is a place called Yuba City. Y-U-B-A, and then city.
Where is that?
So that is, I'm in Sacramento now, and I can say that is about an hour and 10 minutes exactly due north from here. There's two towns, Marysville and Yuba City.
Yeah.
All right. And it's off a main highway. And so whoever sent that was probably passing through and traveling through Yuba City. It's not somebody from, right. So
in other words,
they were trying to throw off, you know, being tracked.
Probably somebody that has a military uniform on, right?
A military uniform, boy. In Yuba City, there's very few military people. It's not a military town, so
right.
You know, the company would stick out like a sore thumb.
Right.
So, yeah. Right. So you know, and of course, it was a direct slander on me. They attacked everything from my military service to me personally, to my education, to my family. It just goes on and on and on. You know, in this slanderous attack. So, like I say, if Fox News doesn't contact me or my attorneys, and they can contact me through you, Steve, you know, and contact the show, my attorneys will be contacting them tomorrow. All right, it's just that simple.
Sure.
So, you know, and like I say, I can't think that Fox News would be so small-minded, you know, as to send a fax like this. All right, I just can't imagine it, and especially since it's unsigned, it's anonymous. Okay. Boy, the mystery even thickens somewhat. It's anonymous. Okay. So anyway, that is what has happened about 4.5 hours ago. So I'm just dying to find out exactly who it is and who sent this. And we should have a complete video, 24-hour digital video of the person, very shortly. So looking forward to it. So anyway, that's my big excitement, for today.
Yeah.
All right. Now,
can you think?
Now, yep. Yes.
Can you think of anything that you would have said bad about Fox News that would have gotten something like that?
Oh, well, other than the fact that they would occasionally support George Bush, you know, and I don't think it's a big secret anywhere on the whole globe how I feel about George W. Bush,
right?
Dick Cheney, Richard Cheney, and Donald Rumsfeld, okay? yesterday. I almost kind of went into apoplexy the night before last. I saw Lynn Cheney, the wife of Dick Cheney. Yeah, right. You know, her claim to fame is that, first of all, she's married to that snake. And secondly, that she is some sort of historian. Now, if anybody looks at what she's written about, okay, it goes to, what is it, lesbian, sado-lesbian Japanese sex books or some damn thing, okay? So, you know, I can't even think of how to describe the stuff that she's written, but it's Japanese lesbian sadomasochism books, okay? That's, I guess we all need to specialize in something, and that's as good as anything. But,
I guess.
Yeah, but don't get on national TV and talk about what a wonderful historian you are of American history, which is what she was trying to do. So, of course, I thought, well, you know, she might be an expert on Japanese lesbian sadomasochism techniques and writing books about them. But I just remember what my good friend who mysteriously committed suicide, Gene Palfrey, told me about her husband, Dick Cheney. Okay. I think everybody knows, Jean Palfrey as she was the former, madam of DC, the DC, Washington DC madam. All right.
Yes.
So she was the madam of all these escort girls and so forth. And so needless to say, she was a good friend of mine. And somehow she was arrested when she attempted to transfer. She attempted to have her bank transfer some funds to Germany, where she was thinking about taking up residence. And somehow, she was arrested, and then she was taken into court and tried for pandering. Okay, that's what they call prostitution, is pandering. And so. She had all the material, and I can safely, comfortably say that her black book, I think is what they call it, her black book is in safe hands. And yes, it names a lot of politicians. All right. And one of the politicians she names is in her book is Richard Cheney, Dick Cheney. All right. And all I can say is some of the stuff that I heard from the Washington DC madam is, OMG. Okay. You know, I was in the Navy. Hey, everybody loves a good time, especially when they put in the port. But she told me that things that just would make me blush. It made me blush. I'm blushing now as telling your listeners, okay, some of the things that I heard that what Dick Cheney does, okay, to ladies of the night. So, needless to say, she was Lynn Cheney was on late night TV with Charlie Rose of the PBS broadcast. And of course, I have to choke down the bile when I think about, the unholy troika of,
right,
of George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, and Rumsfeld. Okay. So
kind of throw up in your mouth a little bit, right?
I'm sorry?
I said kind of makes you want to throw up in your mouth a little bit, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, I could taste the bile. There was no question about that. Yeah. Especially after what I have seen and heard. Now, I came on your show the other night, and I apologize to your listeners because I had been a staunch protector and defender of General Janis Karpinski. And Janis Karpinski was the general, the one-star general that was at Abu Ghraib prison.
Right.
And I apologize to your listeners. I felt that they had it coming because, from what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing, your listeners really do put a lot of faith in what I say and are thrilled to hear somebody speaking a little bit of the truth. Okay, it's a very rare thing nowadays. And so, as I told your listeners, I found out after speaking to a member of the legendary Delta Force, that no, indeed, Janis Karpinski did not try to, protect, first of all, her troops that I knew every single one of the troops that she offered up that were sent, court-martialed and sent to prison, okay, over the torture that was going on in Abu Ghraib prison. And if all your listeners know me, I'm sure now, as the person who filed the charges to try to stop the torture that was going on at Abu Ghraib. And so needless to say, and it was a shock to me, by the way, to hear this, that no, she indeed knew that the torture was going on, did absolutely nothing to stop it. And when it was pointed out to her that, you know, this was, you know, in contravention of the Geneva Conventions, all basic human decency, no, she thought it was funny. Okay. She just laughed it off and just encouraged, you know, this vicious treatment of the inmates at Abu Ghraib prison. And of course now, it's kind of an anniversary for Abu Ghraib, because last week Abu Ghraib finally closed. It had 2,500 people in it. 2,500 detainees. Okay. You know that phony baloney term that our George W. Bush liked to use. Okay. Describing prisoners that were being tortured and abused. And by the way, hidden by my commander. My commander was one of the defendants in my lawsuit. Okay. He was actually hiding detainees, prisoners of war. He was hiding from the Red Cross so we could torture him some more. Okay.
All over around, he was hiding them all over the black sites all over the world, right?
You got it. All over Abu Ghraib, all over Iraq. I mean, he was all over the place, all right, with these ghost, that's what they call them, ghost detainees.
Yeah, right? Well, I don't even know if you would be revealing secrets or anything. You probably would, so I shouldn't even ask.
Ask, all right, because...
Well, I was only going to ask where some of these secret black sites were, but that's probably too sensitive, isn't it?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Steve. Okay, because when I did my best to keep secrets and so forth, I saw what it got me. It got me a stretcher. It got me tortured. It got me shot full of drugs. So, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, I have a tough time, you know, showing any kind of, you know, fortitude and duty to an agency that would treat me like that. Sorry, I don't have it. But what I did find out, and I made the announcement on your show, was one of those black sites, next to Abu Ghraib, Guantanamo Bay is the granddaddy of all black sites.
Oh, is that right?
And, of course, I'm sorry?
Right down there in Cuba, huh?
Oh, yes, right. You know, the Bay of Pigs, Guantanamo. And so, let me see, how was it? What happened on Wednesday night of last week, you know, that shocked me? It shocked me when I found out that, of course, our Manchurian candidate, the Honorable Barack Obama, you know, who we call president now, all right, he doesn't seem to have a problem lying to people. And, you know, and we should expect this after about a third or fourth generation now CIA operative. Okay. That's what, you know, those people take pride in, is lying to other people. And so it's no problem for a presidential candidate sponsored by the agency to lie to people. Okay. It's just the only question is how well you can do it. And George H.W. Bush, of course, headed up the CIA and got elected. And let me see, there was a rumor that Mr. Bill Clinton was working for the agency at one time, and I've never confirmed that, but the facts seem to be mounting up every day now. And then especially when he went to England, especially when he went to Oxford. And then, let me see, who came next? Okay, it's somebody named George W. Bush. Okay, could you imagine George W. Bush not having any affiliates or contacts, okay, with the agency and not doing the agency's bidding? I can't. I don't think anybody else out there listening would have a problem believing that, yes, he was doing the agency's bidding. And then we got the Manchurian candidate, the Teflon-coated presidential candidate, who was just absolutely perfect. The guy who came from somewhere, we can't still figure out where he came from.
Supposedly Chicago, right?
Right. Well, you know, some people say Hawaii, some people say Africa.
Right.
You know, who knows?
Homeland Security. Homeland Security knows.
Oh, yes.
Homeland Security, right, yes.
You heard Homeland Security.
Yes, I did, well, yes.
Right, well, my good friend, actually, the Baron von Zeppelin is here, so, and he actually told me, one moment.
Hey, knock it off, everybody, all right? Come here. All right, Sam, okay. Now, tell Steve and his listeners what you think of George Bush.
How about Barack Obama?
How about Donald? Okay, that's good. Okay. See? So, Barack Obama is Mr. CIA. Okay. Don't be under any illusion.
Right.
Okay. Illusions. All right. That he is anything but.
Yeah.
His mother was an operative in Indonesia running death squads.
His grandparents were too.
Right. Yes. Right. Your old dad worked for British intelligence.
Yep.
And mom worked for USAID, CIA. Okay.
Yep.
When they say USAID, they mean CIA. All right.
Yep. And grandma grandma worked for a bank. She was a top banker for one of them money laundering banks, I think. Grandma worked.
You mean like Bocce?
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, okay. You know, for all those folks who've lost billions of dollars out there. Oh, gosh. Now, who started Bocce, okay? Wasn't that George H.W. Bush?
I think so, yeah.
I think it was. I think it was. And what happened to billions of dollars? They just kind of disappeared, all right?
Kind of like that seven trillion dollars is gone, right?
I said on your show, one of my sources when I was in Iraq, Abu Sager, who was actually abducted by the CIA and beaten to death. All right, you know, it's so good to know that I had people backing me up that would take my sources who were full of intelligence that we could have used and very conveniently beat him to death. All right. I stopped one attack myself. Actually, it was two attacks in one night. I stopped, but as soon as he was out of my sight, he was a dead man, and he knew it. So, but he informed me that Bocce was the intermediary in the purchase by Saddam Hussein. The Bocce Bank worked with the Iraqi banks to purchase weapons of mass destruction. Okay, now you folks have heard that. Your listeners have heard that, weapons of mass destruction. Okay. And they were American weapons of mass destruction. American, all right. You know, and they were surprised. They were ordered, manufactured, and assembled and reconfigured at Fort Rucker, Alabama. Okay, everybody knows that now. Who's been listening? And they were ordered, as I found. You know, I found some of the few documents that hadn't been destroyed in the Bush. Great document purge. Okay, there was a great document purge going on when I was in Iraq. Now, every document that had any that showed any kind of connection between George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush, was being located and shredded. All right. Well, the problem is that my documents that I found were underground in a bunker in Iraq, with the documents strapped to the cases of these 29 weapons of mass destruction. Okay, so now something just happened last night, Steve, concerning those, and I was filled in. Okay, I was filled in, and by the way, this fact will come out in my book. I just spoke to my biographer today about it, and he was thrilled. Okay, when I had the bills of lading that were very clear. They stated who ordered the manufacture of these weapons, who ordered the shipping of these weapons, and how they arrived, and so forth. From Pine Bluffs, Arkansas, and Fort Rucker, Alabama, down the Houston Waterway. Gee, imagine the Houston Waterway. Now, who do we know that lives in Houston, as in George H.W. Bush and family? And they were sent to Iraq, all right, where they were probably dropped off the heads of Kurds and Iranians, okay? So everybody knows that, I think, by now. You know, unless you've been in a coma, unless you've, you know, been in a mine shaft that has caved in and you've just been rescued, you know that the weapons of mass destruction that we invaded Iraq for were American-made weapons of mass destruction, all right?
And we didn't let CNN know that or anybody because it was a major embarrassment and would have brought into question the legal premise of us invading a country that we had sold the weapons to, and we were invading them to get those weapons back. All right. Yes, they had the receipts for those weapons that they sold to us from Bocce Bank. So anyway, what I was going to tell you and your listeners, and they haven't heard this before, was last night I had someone contact me and say, yes, the ship those weapons of mass destruction over to Iraq was a ship called the USS Wabash. Okay, that's Wabash. The Wabash, all right? And I even spoke to the person who signed for those weapons of mass destruction, all right? So needless to say, yes, that was all put together, all right? That was put together for those weapons. That was the one piece that was missing in my discovery of the documentation. Who reconfigured those weapons? Because they were converted 1,000-pound bomb casings. They were reconfigured. They were where they were shipped to, where they were stored, how they were moved by railhead to the shipping port of the Houston Waterway, how they were armed, who produced the arming salts, the weapon salts, and then how did they get to actually it was Spain, and from Spain into Turkey, and from Turkey into Iraq. Well, that was a piece that was missing. And I found out last night it was the ship, the U.S. Navy ship Wabash. So in other words,
the U.S. Navy moved them.
Yes, the U.S. Navy moved. I thought it would have been a civilian, naval.
NGO, ship. Yeah. Non-government agency Cargo. Or something.
Yeah, no, it was a Navy ship, okay. So
oh boy.
They moved it. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm always the last to find out in all this stuff. I guess that's when you're operating in the intelligence business, you just kind of have to face things as a fact that sometimes you're going to be at the last person to know about them. Okay, that's why Osama bin Laden was in has spent years in Afghanistan. Okay, and we were swarming all over the place looking for him and couldn't find him. What, for 10 years? Okay, for 10 years, we couldn't find the most wanted man on the planet, all right? We couldn't find him, and the whole place, and this came, by the way, this fact was brought out in my book today, was that the sky at night was crisscrossed with hundreds of satellites looking for him, and nobody could find Osama bin Laden, all right? And I'm still dubious about the Abbottabad, okay, as they call it. And Osama bin Laden with an entourage of 2,000 people moving in a place that has barely any carrying capacity, economic carrying capacity, for 2,000 people was moving around freely and nobody knew where he was. Okay. And so that's why, I have a hard time now. I also have another hard time with the fact that the bin Laden family were great investors in the Bush family business empire. Okay. And the only planes that were flying around the day after 9/11 were guess who? The bin Laden family planes. Planes that were allowed to leave. Okay. So
bin Laden family members, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Bin Laden family members, weren't they?
The bin Laden family members were all allowed to leave, okay, on their plane the day after 9/11. Okay. So, as they say in intelligence collection, there are no coincidences, all right, period. So, needless to say, I finally put that whole purchase package together. It took me 10 years to do it. Who purchased weapons of mass destruction? Who manufactured those weapons of mass destruction? And how they were shipped and how they were utilized and also how they were dropped. I was able to put together the entire logistical package of the jet fighters that dropped these weapons on the heads of Kurds when they were running for their lives. And also these weapons were dropped on the heads of Iranians. All right, because Iraq and Iran were in a huge war. So anyway, that's what's happened. And I really wanted your, you know, listeners to know that, okay? Because everybody's still wondering. Oh, yeah, and one more thing, too, by the way. Actually, a couple more things. That's what I like about your show, Steve, is I can talk about this stuff as a guest and not have to be pinned down, okay, by any folks from any of these news agencies.
Yeah.
Trying to make points.
I'm not going to censor you.
I'm sorry?
I won't censor you.
Oh, yeah, that's great, isn't it? But, so anyway, everybody knows now that George W. Bush, the Bocce Bank, the father, were all responsible for moving weapons of mass destruction and, as I've told your listeners, besides VX/GF, which are still listed on the Central Command's weapons logs and registry of the U.S. military, which they violently deny right now, okay? You could pick up the phone and call the Pentagon, and they would deny it, all right? But surprise, those weapons, along with their GSN numbers, you can order one. You can order a couple of P-400 converted bomb casings if you want, okay? You know, I would get the the VX/GF model, Steve. If you really want to do a number on somebody,
is that
that's
right?
The one you want to order. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I know all about it now.
Okay.
I am a bit of an expert in this area. All right. So, you know, and believe me, the government thought enough about my knowledge to strap me to a stretcher and torture me to find out, you know, who I'd contacted about.
Exactly.
You know, with this information. Right. You've got it. So anyway, I'm sitting out here in California and watching this daunting investigation of the CIA disappear, okay? Remember, you know, last week, Senator Feinstein was going to get to the bottom and find out who was spying on who and authorized all this torture and all this mayhem and all this stuff?
Yes, I do. And yes.
Has anybody heard anything?
Not a peep.
Not a peep. Well, I think what has happened... A couple of things, actually. First of all, I mentioned Guantanamo. Well, you know, obviously, you know, President Obama, okay, he is, like I say, the Manchurian candidate. You know, he doesn't do what the American people tell him to do. Oh, no, that's, as Leona Helmsley used to say, that's for the little people, okay? No, he does what the agency tells him to do, okay? And the agency told him that, no, we are not going to shut down Guantanamo Bay with all the inherent problems and all the issues that has brought and the damaged relationships that we have with our foreign nationals and foreign allies and so forth. Oh, no, we're not shutting down Guantanamo. Okay. This happened last Wednesday night, folks. And you can pull out the congressional records and confirm this, okay? Never believe a word I say. I want you to look everything up and confirm it, all right? And then please call in once in a while to confirm, too, and check and ask me questions, okay? That's the part I like the best, all right? But anyway, no, they're going to spend, you know, they quoted, okay, $96 million. They're going to build a new prison in Guantanamo, okay? Say what? You know, I had to shake my head several times and say what they're gonna do. What? And this, I remember.
Yeah.
What I told your listeners is they don't care what the American people think or want to do. Especially since, you know, I mean, heaven forbid, the American people are actually the citizens of this country that are paying for all these antics. All right, they're paying for them. Okay, and we elect people. Well. Not if the NSA has anything to say about that, okay, with their election engineering procedures now, because they, by the way, they can, you know, since the NSA has intercepted everybody's phone calls, including in Ireland, including the UK, all right, including Mexico, all over the world, Brazil, I mean, you name it, Germany, oh my goodness, in Germany, oh, think again, okay, they've been monitoring everybody in Germany, France, all right.
Say, so, Greg.
So, yes. So,
you asked me if there was some breaking news earlier. I forgot. I did see something. I guess Germany was going to interview Snowden, and somebody put the old Ixnay on that.
Okay. Well, I'll get to Ed my man. Okay.
Yeah.
Ed my man.
Okay.
In a sec. And so anyway, now, yeah, and as I said, you know, when you figure out government spending, you know, because of all the hidden overruns that they never tell the public who's, you know, heaven forbid, paying for all this stuff. No, you can figure your times 2 plus 10%. Okay. So we're talking comfortably a new prison, okay, about $250 million for a new prison in the Platinum area, okay, the U.S. Army area that is controlling Guantanamo. It's called the Platinum area, all right? And the Platinum area is going to house, guess who? Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
The one and only KSM?
I mean, that's a pretty good deal, okay? Supposedly he's the mastermind behind 9/11, but now they're going to build him a special prison just all for him. All for him. Just, you know, just for him. And it's going to probably have a nine-hole, you know, putting green. It should have a couple of tennis courts. You know, clay goes to, you know, the clay courts go down well, you know, in the tropics like Cuba, right? Okay. So he'll probably insist on clay courts. He'll have cable brought in.
He'll probably have a mosque facing east, right? Facing Mecca.
Oh.
Facing Mecca?
Okay. No problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's real simple. It's just, if you want to do it and you're President Obama, you just do it. Now,
do you think he'll have his own imam?
A little bit of trouble lately, okay? He's in a little bit of trouble.
Yes, he is.
He said that something like this, okay, that he said that, you know, getting back to Ed Snowden, okay, Ed Snowden, all right, has, of course, divulged the massive eavesdropping on virtually everybody on the planet, okay? There's hardly anybody on the planet that, you know, hasn't, the NSA hasn't recorded their phone conversations and so forth. And let me see, how did it go? They recorded the premier of Germany, okay, Merkel, you know, the chancellor of Germany. A very good friend of mine, Helmar Buchel of Der Spiegel, okay, actually, you broke that story. And he also did my story on Abu Ghraib, okay? If you go online with Der Spiegel, type in my name, you'll see the whole Abu Ghraib story, by the way. And needless to say, Germany was so impressed with Ed Snowden that, and they were so proud of what he did and following up and exposing this monstrosity, this unbelievable violation of the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, okay, allowing people to have private conversations and not be intruded upon by some government agency, okay, gathering evidence for, you know, for election engineering. Okay, that's what all this is about, is election engineering. All right. Now, the Germans said, yes, we want you to testify, you know, before their, what is it, their open Senate, okay, they have, what do they call that there? Not the Bundestag, something like that. I think it's called the Bundestag. And yes, the entire government wanted him to come, yes, from Russia, okay, from Russia where he is now, and testify, and they are going to give him the Samuel Adams Award, you know, for intelligence work, okay, and freedom, all right? And that brings something to mind, okay? And by the way, here, let me read your listeners something. Yeah, I think that they should.
I got to tell you something, too. Yeah, I just brought something up that somebody passed me earlier. German government hires D.C. law firm to threaten its own parliament with criminal prosecution for talking to Snowden. Angela Merkel is doing this. Conclusion, we are of the opinion that if Snowden provides classified information or documents to the Bundestag, or the German diplomats, who interview Snowden, such acts give rise to criminal exposure under the laws of the United States. The United States would have jurisdiction to prosecute those acts regardless of where they occur. The fact that German legislators have immunity under German law would not shield them from prosecution in the United States. German diplomats in Russia, for example, not accredited to the United States. Well, okay. I'm sorry, that was the end of that, but yeah, a little something weird there.
Well, let me see. I have something pretty comparable, but anyway, let's see, the NSA used every opportunity to remind Americans of 9/11 and its role in keeping America safe. The NSA's critics pointed out that Angela Merkel wasn't exactly Al-Qaeda, once she found out that her cell phone had been bugged. In an interview with Der Spiegel, Senator John McCain called for a wholesale house cleaning in the U.S. intelligence community, starting from the top. Asked why spooks had bugged Chancellor Merkel, he offered a concise reply. I hope everybody's listening. The reason I think they did it is because they could do it. Are our intelligence agencies out of control or what? All right?
They are.
They bugged the premier's cell phone, listened in on government business of that country. And they're supposed to be an ally, but because they could do it, because they could do it, all right? Well, here's the shock that resulted from this. The judiciary, however, took a different view. In December 2013, Richard Leon, a federal judge, delivered a massive legal blow to the NSA. He ruled that the agency's bulk collection of America's phone records violated the U.S. Constitution. The program was almost Orwellian in its scope. Where have we heard that before, Steve? The government does not cite a single case in which analysis of the NSA's bulk metadata collection actually stopped an imminent terrorist attack. Not one, people, not one. Like Leon said, the constitutional challenge brought by two plaintiffs was likely to succeed. There was one crumb of comfort for the government. It was allowed to appeal. Well, in the meantime, hostility towards the leaker, Ed Snowden, from the administration was undiminished. Neither Obama nor the Secretary of State, John Kerry, showed any backtracking in their attitude towards a man whom Kerry had dubbed a traitor to his country. Presidential pardon? Nope. The espionage charges against him still stood. These were unauthorized communications of government property and willful communications of classified intelligence to an unauthorized person. Oh, gosh, gee, does anybody want to hear those charges again? Okay. This was, they're talking about a man, Ed Snowden, who went to no less than 10 supervisors to try to get these laws enforced for the American people. Okay, not just the American people, everyone, all right, to get these laws enforced. He went to no less than 10. And he was actually threatened with job employment termination if he brought it up again. Okay, does that sound like a person, who has betrayed his country? No, I don't think so.
Not at all.
Steve. In fact, a very good friend of mine actually took the Sam Adams Award, okay, Ray McGovern, okay, former CIA analyst, and took the Samuel Adams Award medal, actually, to Moscow and presented it to Ed Snowden. All right? So obviously, not everybody's a buffoon in this business.
Obviously not.
Everybody, not everybody thinks the Manchurian candidate has it right with some sort of right to spy on the American people and anybody else for that matter. But he had to give credit where credit's due. He wasn't the one who authorized this massive spying. Who else would be stupid enough to authorize this massive spying on the whole world?
Dick Cheney might.
Do we know?
Dick Cheney might.
Close. Very close.
Yeah?
Yes. Right. George W. Bush authorized this spying.
Huh.
Okay, this spying on virtually the entire world. Okay. And as long as governments can speak in semantics, okay, say one thing but mean another, okay, they can do anything. And that's exactly what I saw reviewing this case, the Ed Snowden case, is they said, oh, well, yes, we won't spy on anybody overseas, but surprise, most of the internet traffic goes through the UK, are you listening, Ireland? The UK and England, and also the large part of internet traffic goes through the United States. Okay, so... Yeah, well, if it goes to the United States, then NSA's justification and their logic, such as it is, says, okay, we can intercept virtually everybody's traffic all over the world, all right, as a result. Okay, you don't have to go to someplace like Minwith Hill in the UK or excuse me, the Cornish coast. They don't have to go to Widemouth Bay, again on the Cornish coast. That's where these cables come ashore in the UK, by the way. Okay, they don't have to go to these places. No, they don't. They can sit right here in the United States and monitor damn near everybody in the whole world, okay, as a result. So, and they think it's okay. And because, quote, you know, they think that they might have stopped a terrorist attack, but there's no evidence of it. And as I just read, not one single case existed where they've stopped a terrorist attack, and which would justify this massive intrusion into virtually everybody on the globe. Virtually everybody, all right? So, you know, there's very few countries where they're not vacuuming up every little bit of information. But to put it in perspective, I look at where they're vacuuming this information up, this mega data or metadata, as they call it. And it's usually places that have some sort of economic interest. And, you know, and the economic interest can be gained through the election process or election engineering. All right, election engineering. Remember that term, folks, because everybody...
Election engineering. Mm-hmm. Did you say election engineering? Isn't that
election
just...
Election engineering. Gosh, imagine that.
Isn't that just...
And utilize that information.
Yeah.
On their last election.
Yeah. Isn't that just secret code for fixing?
Yes, it is. Okay. You can reduce that government speak down to a simple word. Yes. Okay. You don't even have to call them hanging chads.
No.
All right? Yeah. I mean, you know, that ridiculous buffoonery that this country presented on the eve of the election of, quote, the suspected election of George W. Bush. Okay. No, that's called election engineering. And as I mentioned, one of your shows, I was in Canada when I came back from all this tomfoolery, you know, in Iraq. And I was talking to some Canadian diplomats and politicians in Vancouver, and they said, first of all, yes, we suspected that there was torture going on by the United States in Iraq. All right. We suspected that it would happen and be initiated by Dick Cheney with his programs. All right. His programs that were launched in the year 2000. Get it? The year 2000 to invade Iraq. We didn't actually physically invade Iraq till 2003. But the Canadians knew that the plan was in play, the operation was in play to invade Iraq in 2000.
Wow. Okay. That's amazing. Yeah.
But the thing that they looked me right in the eye and they said, there better not be any of that George Bush engineering, election engineering going on up here. We suspect that there is with somebody named Stephen Harper.
Right.
All right. They strongly suspected Stephen Harper as utilizing election engineering technology. All right. Well, it hasn't stopped, folks. Okay. I got news for you. Any place that the NSA has an interest in, by the way, they do pay the UK hundreds of millions of pounds. Okay, pounds every year to sit there and listen to you folks. Okay, listen to this conversation. All right, record everything. They pay hundreds of millions of dollars to do that. All right, and so if you think this is just it doesn't affect you in any way, you better think again because your government is telling you. All right, to NSA. That's what they're doing. They're selling you as a commodity. And the irony is, which makes them laugh, is you're paying your phone bill, you're paying your internet bill, and they get to sit there and gather all this information on you while you're paying for the privilege. That's what makes them laugh.
Sure. Okay.
You bet.
That's the American way, isn't it, Greg?
I'm sorry, Steve?
Isn't that the American way?
Well, yes, it is. And of course, Barack Obama, Mr. Transparency in Government, all right? I didn't tell you folks, but when he got caught, you know, with all of this, he had red-faced, embarrassed, America was embarrassed. Do you think for one second that the NSA has made any changes in its collection, of metadata? Not once.
Well,
not once have they made any changes.
I think maybe they have.
But
haven't they changed names, Greg?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Haven't they changed names and changed? Don't they just change it to a different location, maybe?
Oh, no, we're not talking about Blackwater here. We're talking about NSA.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, no. Blackwater just changes their name. So, President Obama very graciously, when all this hoopla broke, you know, and everybody in the whole world realized that NSA was vacuuming their telephone calls, especially the ones late at night to their girlfriends and boyfriends, and great phone sex. Well, hate to break it to you folks, but NSA has exactly what you said to your girlfriend 2 nights ago, okay, or your boyfriend, you know, or either or, okay, so they have it, but President Obama very graciously, and I was really moved. I got really misty-eyed when I read this, okay. He said that they are not, the NSA now is not going to keep that information for 5 years, okay. But he very graciously offered to lower the time of holding that information down to 3 years, okay. So the NSA can still collect anything it wants on you. It just can't hold it for more than 3 years, okay. Isn't that, is everybody as moved as I am, you know, at how gracious these lying, sleazy, pimp politicians, you know, can condescend to offer something like that and then offer it with American citizen taxpayer dollars. All right. The bottom line here is who's paying for all this? Who's paying for the budget, the massive black budget of the NSA? It's the American citizen. All right. That's who's paying for it. All right. So I am truly deeply moved by that fact. Now, you know, after reading, okay, all this on the Snowden papers, yes.
I've just got a message. Do you want to take a caller?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you bet. I'd love to.
All right. Hope he turns his radio off. Do you have your radio off? Hello, are you there? Hello?
Yeah, 1 second. Let me get everything prepared.
All right.
All right. Yeah, I'm good now.
Okay. Yeah, we got, well, let's just call him Golem. Golem's on the line there, Greg.
Golem?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Kind of, what is not a character? Okay, all right, Golem.
Actually, golems are actually different from Gollum in Lord of the Rings.
All right. That's what I was thinking here. But okay.
Yeah, it's funny actually. Superman is a golem, but it's like Jewish lore. But so I basically wanted to ask you guys a question. Are y'all aware of the size and scale of the computer that the NSA currently has? Like what it's capable of doing?
Well, I know one. I years ago I was with Special Forces in Utah, in the proud state of Utah, and near the West Jordan River, and just outside of Salt Lake City, near Layton and Salt Lake City, and in front of the Wasatch Front, and that unit, that computer there is about, if I remember correctly, close to 100,000 square feet of factory space. Okay, yeah, I might be a little wrong on that number, but it's pretty close, okay, to that number. Now, and that's just in Utah, okay? We're not talking Fort Meade or any of the other ancillary satellite facilities that contribute, okay? Because, you know, there's several in New Zealand, there's a couple in Australia, there's a couple several in the UK, as a matter of fact. I named a couple already tonight. But the biggest one I know of is in Utah, and to show you just how much information that they're pulling out of the whole world, when they started it up about 14 months ago, and it took 2 years to build the facility, and they started it up, and yeah, there was so much information coming into it, it burst into flames. Okay, they had to shut it down for another 3 months because it actually burst in flames and was actually in danger of destroying itself. Okay, so that should warn everybody about just how much information that the NSA is pulling down out of the whole world, including this conversation too. So I always need to remind everybody of that. So is that the question you were asking, Golem?
Yeah, and I mean that's really interesting information. And what I basically want to kind of jot in there was that they have several articles that have mentioned this, and it's basically about how the computer doesn't think like regular computers. It doesn't calculate in zeros and ones. It actually uses subatomic particles and quantum physics, and it like basically uses particle technology to think. And apparently in 1 second, it can calculate the equivalent of all of the atoms in the whole entire known universe. And I mean, so, you know, where I think it's funny is I was actually also reading an article yesterday about the accelerometers in your phone today, like in the iPhone, you know, how it tilts the screen when you turn it and stuff like that. That it has a 95% accurate fingerprint to identify who you are. And all these programs and apps that you put on your phone are have been secretly using the accelerometer as basically figuring out who you are and where you're at based on, you know, like how you tilt your phone every day, because it's very accurate. But yeah, there's just so much that we could talk about, because it's such a great subject, and it's very revealing as to basically, you know, monitoring people and what they're doing and how far they're going, and you know, tell me if you both of you agree with me that the government, like, work and everything should essentially be transparent. Like, if we wanted to walk into the Federal Reserve Bank, it should be, like, you know, completely transparent to the only American citizens. But it's like there's this level of the government where it's like, oh no, it's a top secret, you know, like it's national security. I think that's the number one enemy right now. And I think everybody who's talking about this stuff, especially us who are really into it and very, very smart. I mean, I think, I was just actually watching Charlie Sheen, and I'm looking at Macaulay Culkin. You know, I'm looking at some of the biggest actors and celebrities. It seems like they're all losing their mind. I mean, I would hate to say, I know everybody's trying to say that it's drugs, but I mean, I think that they could possibly be manipulated by microwaves, and, you know, I mean, I'm sure you heard of that. What was that one girl, Kathy O'Brien?
Kathy O'Brien, yes.
Yeah, you know, Kathy O'Brien brought up some really interesting points, like, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, about how that they were using harmonic distortion technology. They had moved on from using drugs and stuff, drug-based mind control, and had moved on to, you know, harmonic frequencies. And,
yeah, well, Golem, Greg knows a lot about that technology you're talking about, don't you, Greg?
Yeah, no, Golem, by the way, that type of technology that the computers operate on, it's really, yeah, it's fascinating. And in a thumbnail sketch, those computers actually don't operate on a fixed point in space. They operate on a three-dimensional fixed point. Okay, so in other words, instead of linear, in terms of calculations, there is no track that they have to follow. If they want to solve a problem, those computers can attack the problem from multi dimensions, okay, to one point. And those are the only computers in the world that can do that. But now I find this ironic, okay, because right now the Internal Revenue Service of the United States of America, you know, the one that just terrifies everybody, you know, my better half got a letter from the Internal Revenue Service day before yesterday, and her hands were shaking. When she looked in the mailbox, her hands started to shake, and it was a letter just saying, you know, yes, you don't owe any taxes this year, okay, everything's fine with the world, all right. But her hands were actually shaking, okay, when she opened this envelope. And that is the process, you know, of intimidation that they've used on the American people, not to pay your taxes and not to question, okay, where your money goes, all right? That's how they do that. But the ironic thing about that is yes, you said that this computer system is massive, that it can figure out virtually anything in a microsecond. You know, what they call brandophagian, you know, percentage of a microsecond, some astronomically small amount. And my point is right now the IRS is losing $23 billion every year to fraud by organized crime syndicates that have found it's more profitable to rip off the IRS than it is to ship drugs into the United States. All right? But who could imagine? But the IRS says they don't have the computing system to fight these frauds that are going on. $23 billion. There's our Obamacare paid for free.
I say, okay? Greg. Do you mean the IRS or the Treasury Department? Are you talking about fake money?
Am I talking about who? I'm sorry.
Are you talking about fake money, funny money?
No. Oh no. No, I'm talking about money that the IRS cuts a check on when they get a claim for that money. All right. And for example, the IRS can't figure out, okay, why they're losing $23 billion. But do you think that they could utilize the NSA's computing system to figure this out? Of course not.
No.
They don't really want to because, for example, 500 checks, and the checks are averaging between $5,000 to $10,000 a piece, some are $30,000, are going to one post office box in Latvia, in Riga, okay, to be exact. All right, I know about that, and I'm just a man of the people. I'm just salt of the earth. I don't know anything more than that, okay? But I know that, all right? So if I can figure it out, how come the IRS can't figure it out, all right? And you're right about the Federal Reserve. If you remember the gazillion dollars that AIG in America, okay, and this is a few years back, yes, AIG decides that they want to make a whole bunch of money that year. And so they, on a Wednesday, they make the announcement publicly that they're going to need $123 billion. $1 billion. You know how many tons of money that is? I know how many tons of money that is. That's about 377 tons of $100 bills. Okay. They need that by the following Tuesday. Okay. And guess what? George W. Bush got it for them. Okay. And to show you how grateful they were, the AIG executives said, they were angry, very angry. I like that, okay. For anybody who's ever had any therapy, that's a very good word, okay, angry, okay. And the executives of AIG were angry because the public didn't want them to get their bonuses of several million dollars each, okay, for ripping off the government of $123 billion, okay? Have you heard from AIG since they got all this money?
No, I sure haven't.
I have. No, of course not. They just kind of just disappeared into the background.
What's crazy? I live here in Dallas, and they used to have this building right when you drove down Central to downtown, and it had in big letters AIG on it. And when that thing happened, they had a crane go up there and pull the letters off. And now it's some company called MHBT. But before we keep on going on this thing, I wanted to just point something out. And I just kind of want to just ask you guys if you can do me this favor. Don't tell anybody about this. Like, if this show is being recorded, bless whoever figures this out. But I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but you can go check this on your own computer right now. If you're are you guys using wireless internet by any chance?
No, I'm not.
Well, I'm going to call the NSA up and ask if I can borrow theirs.
Okay. Okay. Well, if you have wireless internet right now, and you go to your wireless network properties and you just right click on it, and then it will show connection, and then it will show security where it saves your password, and just click on the security tab, and then underneath it, it says advanced settings. And you want to know what comes up after you press that? It says, it gives you an option, and it says enable federal information processing standards compliance for this network. And basically what that is you basically are converting your wireless signal to basically be monitored, by volunteering. Isn't that crazy? I mean, I think this should be like a huge news story. It's called FIPS. There's a Wikipedia about it, but it gives you the option to basically go into compliance with the federal government with your broadcasting.
Well, Einstein said there was only two forms of infinity, okay, that exist, that are endless, okay. One is the universe, and the other is the stupidity of mankind. All right. And what you tell me about this, I wouldn't be surprised if there's actually people that say, yes, sure, that's okay. Monitor my system here by all means. Okay. That's what's so scary about all this is people don't understand, you know, how this came about. All right. This monitoring came about, you know, with a very, very open and accepted avenue. Okay. It was called 9/11. All right. But, you know, the practice was already in place to happen before this. All right. But 9/11, everybody said, sure, go ahead. You know, I don't care. I don't have anything to hide from the government. That was exactly what the NSA and the government wanted, and George Bush and company wanted. All right, this is what they'd waited for almost 30 years. Was the, you know, was the public to say this? Oh no, we'll just waive our rights, you know, and our privacy protections, and our conversation protections, and our right to free speech, and our right of free expression. We'll just waive all those aside, and this is what we have. All right, this is exactly what we. You know, you get the government you deserve, as they say, and I think we have this issue now, okay? When you can have something that lets the government come in and monitor your private life, okay? You know, forget 1984, all right? 1984 is long past. I don't think, you know, Orwellian thought had anything like this in mind, okay? It is here now, okay? And as you said, Bowen, hey, you know, there's very few avenues that are not monitored fully, okay? You know, especially in America, that are not monitored fully and being analyzed. Anytime you use an electronic medium, which is almost impossible not to now, you are giving that information to somebody to analyze your behavior, and that will be used for some process that the government deems worthy of, not worthy, but deems something like an election, okay, that, you know, it deems valuable in that election, okay, as a quotient factor, okay, in that election. President Obama, okay, that's a perfect example, okay. I'm not finding the right words to describe this, but President Obama, okay, actually utilized the CIA's, okay, and the NSA's system of analysis to get elected. Okay, this last election, you think he got it because he was out pumping the flesh and kissing babies? Okay, all right, no, he didn't. All right, he just simply picked up the phone and said, you know, what am I going to do in South Carolina? What should I say to people, you know, fishing for shad in South Carolina? Okay, or mullet. All right, mullet is a big fish in South Carolina. Okay, how should I talk to those people? When it came to Florida, he knew exactly what to say in Florida, okay? Because guess what? All the information had been monitored, massaged, cooked, prepped, analyzed, and digested, ejected, and flushed, okay? Right back at his campaign, committee. So there was no way that President Obama was not going to be reelected, okay? Scary thought, isn't it? In the same
Can
way
I
with
ask
George
you
Bush.
Another question. I kind of have a something I want to throw out there, but have you ever seen the movie Snitch? I think is it Snitch? But it's got Denzel Washington and Ryan Reynolds in it, and it's where, you know, Denzel Washington was a senior CIA agent, and he basically gets, you know, he got backstabbed, you know, by one of the top agents. Have you seen that before?
Doesn't no. ring a bell, I'm sorry.
No.
You gotta watch it, cause it's a really good movie. Denzel Washington is great, but basically, Ryan Reynolds runs a CIA safe house, and he has like the most boring job in the world, and he's been in the CIA for like 5 years, and finally, like, Tobin Frost is Denzel Washington.
In South Africa, correct?
Yeah, that scene where they go to South Africa. But here's a little known fact that only like people like me would know is when
it was called Safe House.
Showing the CIA. No. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It was called Safe House, not Snitch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, snitch is what they use in the intelligence business, all right? So I know the difference between a snitch and a safe house, okay?
Yeah, and so basically, but in that movie, when they're showing the CIA's headquarters in Langley and stuff, and they're going through the corridors, and they're having, like, these big-time meetings and stuff, They actually show through the glass what the computers are and who they're made by. And that's just a little bit of trivia because I actually know the name of the company and they're actually here in Dallas. And you want to know what the name of the company is? The $80,000 question, the $64,000 question.
You're not great.
The company is called E equals MC squared. And if you watch that movie, I can actually freeze frame it right now, and you can see all the computers say E equals MC squared, and they're actually the company that is runs the CIA.
So was that called Safe House, the name of the movie?
Safe House. Like in Safe House, they show the inside of like the helm of the CIA, and they show the server room right next to the boardroom meeting thing, you know, and you can see on every single computer it says E equals MC squared, and those are real computers, and like I'll actually post the link real quick, but you know, I think that my next question is this. I mean, you say that you've been in special forces, and I think that's awesome. I don't really know much about you, Craig, but here's kind of my question and my concern, okay? Here's what I think is going to happen. I think that there's either nuclear weapons that have already been smuggled into cities and or through that technology of the quantum computer. It's not giving an alert, but there's nukes in every city. There either could be neutron bombs.
Well, there's the Ebola virus, too. They've got hidden away in practically every big city. They have that mousepox virus down there from the University of Texas that kills like 99.3% of everything it comes in contact.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
I can speak to this. Yes. Yeah. Gollum, first of all, you're onto something here. Okay. Maybe the presentation, it needs a little fine tuning, but you're on to something, all right? And here's why. I don't know if you've listened for a while to Steve's show, but I informed the listeners, the listening base, which I guess is very large now, that when I was in Iraq, one of the things that I found at the Al-Akaka facility, okay, that is a weapons depot, a massive weapons depot that for the most part doesn't exist now, but it was one of the largest on earth. And we were heading up north, going as fast as we could. And the Al-Akaka facility, is about, I'd say no less than 300 to 500 acres. And there's about 300 bunkers, okay, earthen bunkers in this Al-Akaka facility. And we just happened to choose a bunker, and it was so full of everything from small munitions, ammunition, weapons, and it also had, when we opened it, it had high explosives, Czechoslovakian explosives, Yugoslavian explosives, which are high oxidative, high speed burn, explosives. And those are kind of like what you call as plastics and so forth. But one of the things that I found, and we actually had to take the Humvee, by the way, and back up to the door and press the door back because there was so much pressure on the door that the metal arm could not be raised until we backed the pressure off of it. And then we opened the metal doors, and each bunker is about 65 yards long, maybe, and about 40 meters high, and with curved roof, of course, and it's earthen. Now, these things were absolutely jammed, okay, with all exotic munitions, bombs, and so forth. But one of the things that I saw there, and I didn't know until recently what I had seen, all right, there were 15 boxes, on the left-hand side when I ran into this bunker. I was busy looking for booby traps, actually, is what I was looking for. And there were 15 boxes, and they had the Rankin sign, the radiation sign, and they were marked Savannah River, Georgia, okay? And they were marked RS-131, right? So, and everybody says, well, gosh, I could be giving away, vital information. Surprise, the vital information shouldn't have been there, all right? That's one thing, like with Ed Snowden, I keep saying, is the weapons of mass destruction I found, the VX GF P400s, okay, should not have been there, all right? These boxes should not have been there, okay? Does everybody understand that? They were not supposed to be there. These boxes were not supposed to be there because they contained newly modified RS-131 Savannah River nuclear pits, detonating pits, nuclear pits. These pits were actually designed on order by George W. Bush. Who else? Who else would think of something like this when he first got into office and designed these pits to where they could be used to detonate dirty radioactive material, as in dirty bomb, all right? These pits surprisingly showed up in this bunker, and I hope everybody's listening, okay? They showed up in this bunker in Iraq. What were nuclear pits doing in a bunker in Iraq? Okay. Does anybody find that unusual? I didn't know what I was looking at until I spoke to somebody who was a nuclear engineer, and he said, "Oh my God, you say that number again? Oh my God."
Yeah, right.
What? Okay. Yeah. Oh my God. That's what I got from this guy. Okay. And he said, yes, those were ordered, designed, redesigned by George W. Bush.
And those were all the ones that were shipped by the U.S. Navy you're talking about, right?
No, that was the weapons of mass destruction, the chemical weapons of mass destruction.
Okay.
That was shipped. These were actually authorized, okay, and shipment. I don't know how these were actually shipped, but there is an admiral, okay, an Admiral Garcia, okay, he's no longer alive. Admiral Garcia worked for a group called Halliburton, all right? Halliburton. Okay, do I need to spell that for anybody? Halliburton, which was, who was the president? Dick Cheney. All right. Well, Admiral Garcia was, okay, to make it quick here, I'm sure everybody's falling asleep, is he was in charge of Los Alamos in New Mexico. All right. As in the weapons designer, nuclear weapons designer, Los Alamos. Well, he resigns from that position to take over the shipment and movement of nuclear material into Iraq. All right. So yes, Iraq has nuclear weapons. Okay. Or the materials capable of, and the components capable of producing them. Okay. You probably don't now, because guess what? Those components are sitting in either Syria or Russia. They're probably, one of these nuclear pits is probably sitting on the desk of Vladimir Putin as I'm saying this. All right. Very nice piece of engineering work, if I say so myself. Okay. But, what were they doing there? Nobody seems to know. Okay. And until I had run this by a nuclear engineer, who all they could say was, oh my God, all right, yes, that meant that Saddam Hussein actually had the capability of detonating a nuclear weapon because we provided it to him. Halliburton shipped these nuclear pits to Iraq, all right? So and Steve, you remember my show the other night. What did I find out from Los Alamos recently? And I told your listeners that Barack Obama now has stopped the destruction, according to the SALT II agreements, okay, he is no longer destroying nuclear weapons.
Certainly.
He was supposed to destroy nuclear weapons.
Well, didn't you also say that none of the presidents since Reagan have actually done that either?
Yeah. Even the village imbecile, George W. Bush, your neighbor there in Texas,
I have friends who have their pool boys, and they can actually see his house. But my next question to you is, do you know, have you ever heard of Pantex?
Pantex.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that some sort of expandable elastic pants
I just opened up the biggest can of worms. We've got everybody listening to us now, because let me tell you about Pantex, because my whole family is kind of involved in it, right? The only nuclear assembly and disassembly plant in the whole United States, there's only one. There's not multiples, there's only one. It's north of Amarillo, Texas, and it's called Pantex. And that's where they have built and assembled every single nuclear weapon ever made. And Pantex basically, in 2010, read this Wikipedia article about it. They were, disassembling a nuke, you know, and they have like these robotic arms where they take apart the warhead and they actually crack the warhead. Like it cracked and they could have basically, and then you can go on, I can show you the Google Maps images or Google Earth, and you can see for every nuclear bomb that they disassemble, the warhead and the uranium stuff, they build a warehouse and then house it in there and stuff. But they got fined by the Department of Justice for $100,000 because they basically almost set off a gigantic nuclear explosion. And what's funny is, do you know who owns it now? Who owns Pantex?
I'm afraid
Honeywell. Honeywell owns them. It's Honeywell and somebody else is in charge of the plant now. But there's no, like in Kansas, there's a facility in Kansas where they make the missile shafts and parts of the missiles, but there's no other facility that's actually legally allowed to manufacture nuclear equipment. But now here's the crazy thing, and I can post a link to it. Like about a month ago, people saw this strange aircraft flying straight towards Pantex. And it wasn't a B-52, and it wasn't, you know, anything. There was actually avionics professionals and shit that were looking through the telescope, and they have a really good picture of it, but it's like a triangular craft, and it's not the, you know, it's not the bomber that everybody thinks it is. It's just like a really weird looking craft, but, you know.
Me too.
Yeah, and so, you know, like I said, I'm really into this stuff, and I think that we're really getting into some deep stuff here, and it's just crazy because what I would like to do is, you know, I'm here in Dallas, and, you know, I grew up next to that Halliburton facility where they do all that stuff, and it's funny because you know what's right next to the facility? Sherman Williams Paint and like the Paint Bear Paint Company, they're right next to the processing facility that Halliburton has because, you know, they use all the chemicals to make paint and crap. So like the whole entire city of Dallas is just nothing but a giant fortress that has like all of these companies, and it's got George Bush is right in the middle. And I'm telling you, where George Bush is living, it's called Preston Hollow, and it's like this super exclusive neighborhood. I mean, there's neighborhoods here, Highland Park, where all the rich people live. You can drive down their streets. Like, they're not gated communities or anything. Like, they like to show off their wealth, you know? But, like, George Bush, you know, you heard about that guy. Some guy just, like, randomly went into his house, and apparently there's just, like, throughout the whole entire house, there's nothing but nude paintings on every single wall. Just, like, nude painting. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, you mean the paint-by-numbers things that he was doing?
Yeah, he's just really weird. And then they have this huge deal. They built this library next to SMU, the George W. Bush Library. You heard about that, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, dude. And that thing is crazy because they completely replicated the Oval Office inside of that thing. And like, he's tied into SMU, and then SMU is tied into these tech companies, and then Ross Perot. And then here's my kind of little bit of insider information. Like, you can see I'm very knowledgeable of facilities and companies and technologies, but one hint I will put out there is this. You're aware, you know what EDS is, right?
EDS?
You never heard of EDS? You know Ross Perot, right?
Oh, yes. EDS, right. I do.
Yeah, Electronic Data Systems. They ran all the data for the government. But Ross Perot was involved in it.
Ross Perot, right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But here's what's crazy. I live, you know, you heard of TI, Texas Instruments?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to college. Yeah,
TI is, the facility is about less than a mile away from my house. Like the gigantic facility. And I'm going to just tell you some of the stuff that goes on. When there's storms or like hurricane, I mean, like, you know, just really bad storms, there's actually like they navigate towards the facility. And then there's like a hole that opens up in the clouds around the clouds going around the facility. And they've got like they basically built the freeway or the high five Mixmaster thing that we have, which is like the tallest Mixmaster thing in the whole United States. And TI basically is right next to it, and it's like a fortress. And basically, here's what I think is going on, okay? TI you know, they're responsible for developing the DLP chips, you know what that is, and like digital.
Right.
You know, they were involved with like TVs, like most of the chips and cell phones are from TI. And I actually knew one of my, you ever heard of Todd Rundgren?
You know, the musician.
The musician, right? Yeah.
I'm friends with his ex-wife, and her dad was a Jewish guy, and he was really smart, and he was an engineer at TI. And like her brother's an executive at HP and stuff, but man, she told me all kinds of stuff about what they were doing. But my hunch is this is what's going on. TI is a front between EDS and George Bush and Halliburton, and it's like the technological arm. And basically there's a facility that they purchased about 10 miles up the road, and they bought this gigantic warehouse, and they were going to open it and start, fabricating semiconductors and chips and stuff. And they basically gave the contracts to another company that's right next to it called TriQuint. And TriQuint is involved in making the chips for the F-22 Raptors and the F-35. Yep. And guess what the chips are based off of and what they do? They're called silver gallium processors. And what they do is they send out an electronic scrambling kind of crap. Like, it, when they're in use, there's no military technology that can basically, like, you know, hack into them or any of that stuff. But back to what I think is going on, they have an underground lab underneath TI, underneath the main facility, and another underground lab underneath EDS. And they basically have been working on, and for a while, on human android technology. And it's so far advanced that they basically have created these human robots. And I want y'all guys just to kind of research this. I watched a documentary on it. But you know when we had that Fukushima disaster in Japan? Yeah, the people of Japan, they're obsessed with robots. Like, everybody knows that. You know what I mean? And basically what happened was the people of Japan, they wrote a letter to Honda saying, you've been working on Osimo for 35 years. 35 years you've been working on Osimo. And why can you not, why does Japan not have a robot that's capable of going into the debris and turning off the valves? So Honda, overnight, they got all of Japan's best robotic scientists, and they used technology that Osimo uses to balance himself while walking to build a robotic arm that could turn the valves and then move at the same time and then not, like, break the valves in any sort of way. And they spent $300 million, and they developed it in a month. It was, like, unheard of, you know, they advanced the process of getting it out there to stop this nuclear thing. And you want to know what the government, the Tokyo Power Company and Honda said? They said, oh no, we're not going to be able to use it. And so they scrapped the project, and instead of using the arm that was like super highly technological, they just put a camera on it. And then they have DARPA. DARPA flew to the University of Tokyo, and they had this giant meeting, and they said, we want all of the best robotics engineers and people to come to America and work for DARPA to work on a robot that's immune to radiation, that's immune to, it can walk over everything. And then, you know why all the Japanese scientists couldn't work on it? Because the Japanese government has a law that none of the robotics that they're developing can be used for military applications. So they basically would like lose their shit with the university. So the like the top students that were there at the robotics facility, they quit at the University of Tokyo, and they started developing this new robot that no one had ever heard of, and it basically has like blood. It uses some type of crazy ferrofluid that goes through the circuitry. And like when it has like a high stress situation, like it's picking up a piece of concrete or, you know, it's overheating the servos on the arm, the blood like goes through it and through the chips and like cools it off and stuff. But basically like DARPA has because of Fukushima, they used it just like 9/11 to just jumpstart the process on building these robots that are like ridiculously strong and they can go anywhere and do anything. But my hunch is that TI, EDS, Rothko, George Bush, and all of them are involved in this epic conspiracy with the NSA, with this quantum computer. And they basically, at this moment, have fully functioning androids with just like Terminator 2, like with fully human skin on the outside, and they're plugged into the cloud. And, you know, I think that it's time that I take a camera and I go over there and I start knocking on their door. And I'm like, I'm not going to put up with this, because you know what? I don't want to wake up one day and these nukes that you've already put in all the cities, because that's what my question was to you earlier. I didn't actually get to finish it, but, you know, they have the nukes in all these cities or whatever kind of crap they're planning on blowing up America with. You know, it's going to ruin the America once they do it. Like, and think about this. All these terrorist people have to do is put one bomb on all these overpasses over all the freeways, and nobody would be able to drive. It would shut down the economy. I mean, we are so fragile right now. It's outrageous. And like you guys were saying, we're being monitored because they're trying to make sure that none of us are smart enough to checkmate them in this little game that they're playing to basically blow us all up, you know? And I just hope that you guys are prepared and, you know, you at least have some sort of protection, because I feel like, honestly, it's going to happen any second now. It's going to happen at any moment. We're going to have nukes going off in 10 major cities all at the same time. Wall Street's going to crash and there's going to be no communications and you're not going to be able to drive. And then that's when we're going to see these brand new robots and these drones, you know, like imagine this. Imagine if there was a robot that was a sphere. There'd be no way you could destroy it. It could roll around, and they already have these little toys for kids, their little balls, their remote control. And like kids are just fascinated because they're like, this is crazy. I mean, it can do anything you want it to do. And then, I mean, imagine if it could fly, you know? So I'm sorry if I've talked too long, but I'm just really geeking out over the fact that maybe they have developed these androids, they've developed some of these drones, and just like you found those weapons in that bunker, you know, they're just waiting to release them at any moment. And what are we going to do? Are we just going to lay down and take this? Are we going to really let them do it? And that's why I just find it so amazing. If you watch Terminator 2, when they go to blow up the facility, you know, and the guy Miles Dyson, he actually, in the very end, he sacrifices himself. You know what I mean? He's holding the trigger to the bomb, and the SWAT team comes in and he just looks at him and he blows the whole facility up. But I mean, that means that they were aware of this plan since 1992. So, I mean, it's been about 25 years. I think it's time for it to come out, you know?
Well, boy, Steve, did you mine a rich vein here? That's all I can say. You know, Gollum, this is absolutely fascinating, and you're right. You're actually right on top of it, you know, for all intents and purposes. Maybe change your verbology a little bit, but in describing this stuff, but hey, I think you're onto something here. I have a very good friend who is what's called a quality assurance expert. And of course, I have such a low opinion of most experts, I don't even want to describe it, but He did tell me about some shortcomings in the Pantex Amarillo, Texas plant. And he said that it's hard to convince people because they really don't want to hear it. He has testified about the dangers of these nuclear weapons, nuclear byproducts and so forth. And basically nobody wants to hear it. All right. He was eventually fired from his job, you know, for trying to sound the alarm.
Hey, but, Craig. Craig, yes. I got to ask you something. April 15th of last year, 2013, we had the Boston bombing. On the same day, there was I guess this is a question for both of you. On the same day, there was a business more like was blown up, reportedly, allegedly by internal mechanisms or whatever, like propane tanks. But there's a video out there that almost looks like a missile coming in and blowing this building up. And allegedly that small company had a lawsuit against, I think it was Monsanto or something, or some other company.
Oh, okay. Somebody was upset about GMO food, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, and the missile was actually hitting, this was a Monsanto facility, I take it.
No. It was a company suing Monsanto.
Oh, okay, all right. Those are brave souls. You know, I thought you guys were brave, but man, to sue Monsanto?
Right.
I just remember George Bush looking around with a sneer. You know that sneer that only George Bush could generate at a press conference when he was about to sodomize the American people again for the umpteenth time. He looked around with a sneer and he said that basically that the GMO food companies could go ahead and put as much GMO into the American diet as they wanted, and they didn't have to even have it labeled. They didn't have to tell the American people about you know how much the percentage of their food was GMO. Okay, so and then he stood there like challenging anybody that would have a question for that. I'll never forget that as long as I live. And so when you say Monsanto, I understand just how voracious they are. I mean, they really are. They're almost unstoppable. And it's because of the Bush administration. I mean, the Bush administration for companies like Monsanto, was a wet dream for them, just, say the least. I mean, he was a corporate wet dream, okay? And so it's not surprising that there's anger now with like GMO companies and so forth. Because, they do things like, for example, like a good friend of mine in West Virginia, she raises grass-fed beef. And she is in a lawsuit with Monsanto right now. They are trying to stop her from growing her own beef and feeding them grass. Okay, that just shows you how unrelenting and ruthless they are. They're just like human locusts on the face of the earth. Okay, they're like HIV. You let them in, and believe me, you won't let them out. Okay, they won't leave. And so I'm not quite sure exactly at this point what you're saying when it happened at the Boston Marathon. They had the bombing. What that meant with a missile, okay, coming at it, but I didn't hear about it. Okay. I'm kind of surprised that when talking on your show that they haven't keyed on my Skype or my cell phone, launch a Hellfire missile, that locked down my digital signal, and blew me to bits. I'm kind of surprised that hasn't happened. But given time, since it's, since we just authorized, the Tea Party just authorized, and Tom McClintock out here, the use of drones, to do something like that, to release missiles on people that they don't like and targets that they don't like the ecological gem, the greatest natural preserve in California that was incinerated to the last stick and the fire was started by a drone. Okay. Last summer, you remember that huge fire that we have out here?
Yes.
That was like the third largest in history.
Yes.
U.S. history. Yeah. That's what it was started by, was a drone. And the idiocy of people, like the other day, I just saw where, what was it, that drones are now allowed in Yosemite? Drones are allowed to fly in Yosemite. They're still illegal. I felt better when I found out that they're still illegal, okay, to have on U.S. soil, but they're allowed to fly in Yosemite, okay?
Certainly.
I mean, yeah, you're right. That makes sense. And nobody's saying anything, and nobody's doing anything, like Monsanto, okay? Monsanto virtually runs the world now, thanks to George Bush. And nobody said anything. When I watched Dr. Oz, said, he had two groups of people. One was pro GMO food and the other one was anti GMO food. And you could take one look at the people and see who was eating too much GMO. The GMO folks looked like something out of a bad George Romero movie. Well, Night of the Living Dead.
Say, Greg. Okay.
No.
I say, Putin and Russia just banned GMO food.
Well, yeah, smart guy, Putin, isn't he?
Yeah.
you know, for being the richest man in the world, he is pretty sharp, okay?
He is.
And
he's the richest man in the world?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they say. He's the richest man, either the richest man or one of the richest men in the world.
He's got more money than Rothschilds?
You know, those folks from the workers' paradise, they certainly seem to have caught on really quickly. You know, I mean, to the capitalist ways. Yeah, he's worth $50 billion. Okay. That's what he's worth. Last estimate, he's worth $50 billion.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But by the way, that brings up something, you know, and I'd like to find out what your listeners have heard about what's going on in Ukraine and Russia now. You know, I'd heard that Vladimir Putin had done an about face, which, you know, from an old hardline Stalinist like he is, that's almost impossible to do. That's almost unheard of, okay? And I'd heard that last night, is that he'd done an about face on his policies towards Ukraine.
Yeah. Well, I made a little mistake there, Greg. It wasn't the same day as the Boston bombing. It was 2 days later on the 17th.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, well, I gotta correct myself there.
Okay. I saw that pressure cooker, whatever it was. I think it was a pressure cooker that blew up. You know, and of all things, you know, and by the way, that was a rather interesting episode with those homegrown terrorists. Okay. Because I immediately started hearing all kinds of issues like, you know, check out the parents. Who are the parents of these kids? And where did these kids spend the previous summer? All right. They didn't spend it at some summer camp, you know, Lake Gichigumi. Okay. Those kids were somewhere in, the way I understood it, North Carolina. All right. Getting some training. Okay. Like as in with a couple of agencies getting some training. That's the way I understand it. Almost immediately that came out. And then I didn't hear anything more about it. So, and if you look at their national pedigrees, okay, those kids had kind of an exotic blend. So, you know, I think, you know, it's like Lee Harvey Oswald. Everybody said, oh yeah, sure, he shot the president. Well, did anybody look at the building, the Texas Book Repository building, you know, where he supposedly shot Kennedy from? Really interesting there. And the same thing with the Boston Marathon kids. Did anybody look at the parents, okay, and check their backgrounds out? You'd find some real interesting things going on.
Well, the older boy was a some kind of FBI asset. The
really?
Older brother was, yeah.
So my question now, I don't want to get off subject, but I'm like aching to ask this question. So, how knowledgeable are you about Freemasons and secret societies?
Okay, I'm sorry, Gollum, can you repeat that? You're a little garbled there.
Yeah, like how knowledge are you, like, into Freemasons and secret societies and stuff, like that kind of information?
Oh, okay, well, boy, that encompasses a broad area.
Mainly Freemasonry, though. Mainly, like, just regular old Blue Lodge Masons.
Well, I don't want to get into too much of this because I only have about 4 minutes left here.
Oh, okay. Well, invite this guy Gollum back, would you?
Yeah.
Never a dull moment with this guy.
Yeah, what is your knowledge of Freemasons and that, though, Greg?
Oh, okay. Well, it's about 4 minutes worth. I don't think they're nearly the threat, you know, that everybody thinks they have been. You know, sure, in societies that are building, like the original colonies, the New England colonies and so forth, you needed to have people that knew how to build things, all right? In Europe, how do you think all those cathedrals got built, okay? It wasn't just a couple of jokers that got together and said, hey, let's start carving stone up and stacking it. No, they really knew what they were doing, and that was an extreme skill. George Washington was a Mason. And so the way I understand it is that, you know, yes, they have their secret handshake and their, you know, secret little hats that they put on and all that kind of stuff. But in terms of actually being a threat in our future, I don't think so. The problem is that virtually almost all the Masons are doing something, you know, that happens to be part of the human condition called getting old. Okay. They're going to very shortly you know, old age themselves right out of the political picture.
So yeah, but they're getting younger people out all the time, though.
Well, they probably want you to think that, but that's a real danger now, the way I understand it, you know, with the Masonic lodges and so forth, is that, you know, younger people just aren't interested. And so I think that they're going to become a very interesting footnote in history, probably within the next, you know, 35 to 40 years. And everybody will say, well, yes, they were aligned with the Illuminati and so forth, but hey, you know, in terms of them being an effective political force, no, I don't think they are. And they might have been given to some sort of levels of intrigue, you know, in the past. And sure, they might have actually got upset at some members that talked about their secrets and so forth. Yeah. But, you know.
But say, Greg. Greg, yes. Couldn't that just be some kind of a little deception that that they're kind of putting out there, and they just don't really want to know people know how much they really control?
Well, it, as long as we've got groups like Halliburton around and the neocons around, who cares about some guys that want to get together and have a secret handshake, okay, and drink too much in their parades and so forth, you know. Who cares? I don't think they're going to be that, you know, I don't think they've been much of a danger in the, you know, in terms of, you know, political action and control, you know, within the last 30 years to 40 years.
Yeah.
You know, well, I just don't think so, so.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, all right. That's a good explanation there. Like I said, yeah. I only got about a minute and a half left here, so I thank the both of you for coming on.
I was going to say, I belong to a Scott Society golem, and I've never seen, there's a lot of Masons in it, as you might imagine, you know, from Scotland. You know, we all get dressed up in our kilts and so forth and our sporrans and all that. But, I mean, we're talking, you know, most of them have one foot in Happy Valley retirement home. I mean,
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, you know, they love the Masons, but I don't think that they're much of a threat, to be quite honest, so.
Right.
So I can wrap up just real quick, but I wanted to talk about it on the next show, but I'm actually fully Scottish. My first name is Cameron. I'm from the Cameron clan. But, really what I wanted to discuss was I had years ago, this was probably 10 years ago, and I've actually met the Master Mason of Dallas. He's like 80 years old, just like you're saying. I mean, he's really old. But no, I have some secrets on them that are so crazy that I think that if I ever publicly talked about it, like, you know, posted it, I think I'd be in a lot of trouble because they've got some pretty big secrets, and I think that they're really involved with putting fluoride in the water, and, you know, they love to control the city council. They have every member of the city council is a Mason, and I think they're really involved in it. But it was so awesome getting to talk to you guys. I really respect both of y'all, and thanks for letting me come on and, you know, shoot stuff with you. Awesome.
And that's the end of my show, everyone. Thanks for coming on, Greg. Thanks for coming on, Golem.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Steve. It was awesome.
All right. I'm Stephen Roberts. This has been Stephen Roberts Live and Cancel a Cabal at the same time. So good night, everyone. Till Wednesday night.